Good morning, and welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful May Sunday morning. We are glad you're able to be with us. We are coming to you from the sanctuary of Grace United Methodist Church on Harbison Boulevard in Columbia, South Carolina. We're glad that you're able to join with us today. We're coming to you from an empty sanctuary, which we hope will be rectified in the next couple of weeks. But for now, all of you who are joining us from all over the world, we thank you for your presence and for your prayers as we've gone through this trying time. If you're not on our mailing list, our emailing list, I would ask you to give the church a call. If you have an email address, you can just respond to the email address that's on the bulletin, that's on the internet that you can access. If you don't have access to email, you'll call the church office. We can make sure that you're getting the announcements and things that are coming out during the week. The pastor is sending out a daily email with information regarding the activities of the church. And if you're not getting those, well, there's also a Bible devotion in there and Bible verses that are leading up to a Bible study that we'll be having, that we'll be talking to you a little bit about in just a second. But we also have some fellowship times that are available to you. If you're watching this at 8:30 on Sunday morning, there'll be a fellowship hour this morning. We also have a fellowship time Wednesday evening at 6:30. The before-mentioned emails that are coming out during the week have a Bible devotion in them that goes along with the pastor's 3 o'clock Bible devotion that is every weekday. But also this week it referenced a specific part of scripture which we'll be studying this afternoon at 5 o'clock. If you want to join in, the information again is in the bulletin and in the emails that have been coming out. If you'd like to join in that Bible study, we invite all to come and discuss. I think it's the second chapter of Acts we'll be discussing this morning. Once again, we rejoice with all of you who are celebrating birthdays or anniversaries this week. Anniversary list is Darla Jean and Ricky, David and Judy, Ralph and Kim, Karen and Roger, and Charles and Paige. Very, very happy anniversary. And birthdays, we have Sean, Bill, Ralph, Amanda, Daryl, John, Kristen, Marcia, Deidre, Cameron, Karen, and Leon, Mr. Leon. Very, very happy birthday to all of you. We wish you were here so we could sing happy birthday to you in your presence. But just know that our hearts go out to you, and we're singing happy birthday to you in our spirits. The pastor will be filling you in on more information on our upcoming plans to open the church for in-person worship. There is a committee that's been formed, and we'll be meeting later this week, but we'll be giving you more information regarding that. And if there are no further announcements, glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship.
Good morning, and let us go to God in prayer. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Please join with me in singing our hymn, Jesus Shall Reign.
Jesus shall reign where the sun does its successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore till
we say a warm welcome and good morning to the children who are worshiping with us this morning. We're glad that you've gathered around and are joining us for worship this morning. And as we join together for worship, this Sunday is a special Sunday in the life of the church. It has a special name, and that is, it's the Ascension Sunday. Now, Ascension Day was actually last Thursday. It's 10 days before Pentecost, which is next Sunday. But we typically celebrate Ascension Sunday on the Sunday following that Ascension Day. And Ascension, the word Ascension just means to be lifted up. It's a word that means being lifted up. And we call it Ascension Sunday because today, as we'll hear in our scripture lesson, and as we celebrate every year, this is the Sunday when we remember the day when Jesus was lifted up to heaven after he was raised from the dead. So after Easter, Jesus spent 40 days teaching his disciples, according to Luke and the book of Acts. He spent 40 days on earth teaching his disciples, appearing to them, teaching them more about God's kingdom, teaching them more about the things that were to come and about what it meant that he was raised to new life. And then at the end of those 40 days, he took them to Mount Olivet, and from there, God lifted Jesus up to reign in heaven, to rule in heaven. So he'd been raised from the dead, and now he ascends into heaven. And it's one of the things that we say every week in our Apostles' Creed. Whenever we do the Apostles' Creed after the sermon, and we typically do that creed as our way to affirm our faith, we always affirm that part of what we believe about Jesus ends into heaven. And this ascension is important because it's kind of the ending of Jesus' glorification and resurrection. Jesus is raised to new life, and we know that that's important, that that's how God brings us to new life. But this ascension is kind of the end of that resurrection story. It's the moment when God raises Jesus and shows Jesus to be God's Son, who's going to rule over all of heaven and earth until Christ comes again in final victory, and we get to be with God fully as God's kingdom is made fully present on earth. And so this is a really cool Sunday when we get to remember that Jesus isn't just raised to new life, but Jesus is also in charge of everything. He's raised and ascends into heaven. He sits on the very throne of God. He is the King of everything. And this is a Sunday when we get to celebrate that and remember that. And so this day I want you to remember that ascend and ascension just means lifting up. An ascension Sunday is that Sunday when we heaven to rule with God. And so we want to remember that this day, and I'm glad you're here worshiping with us. And now would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for lifting Jesus up to rule over heaven and earth and to be in charge and to help us to know you better. Amen. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, I just want to remind you that if you have prayer concerns you'd like to share with the church, the best way to do that is to email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. You can email those prayer concerns in, and we will include them in the next Sunday's broadcast. We do send out that the prayer list and the prayer concerns during the week in one of our weekly emails, and we also send a reminder about prayer concerns in a weekly email. And so if you're not receiving the weekly emails and you'd like to, please do. You can either email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org, office@gracecolumbia.org, to be added to our email list. At this time, let's prepare our hearts and go to God in prayer. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God invites us to bring our doubts and fears, our joys and concerns, our petitions and praise, and offer them for the earth and all its creatures. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially this day for Ernestine and Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For all those who are grieving. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew. For Ellen Merritt and Mark following Ellen's procedure this week. For Phil and Carolyn Gwynn, as Phil has experienced some heart trouble at this time and had to be hospitalized last week. For Steve Webster, as he experienced a heart attack yesterday, and also for his wife, Jody. For Luther, Bill Cranford's father, and all of the Cranford family at this time. For Bill and Vicki Matthews, Ernestine's younger brother, who was in the hospital. For Donna Houston and her family in the death of her Aunt Marion last week. For Rita Pardue. For Patricia McCauley and her family, for Janice Seeley dealing with a cancer diagnosis at this time, for Cornell and Yolanda and Bobby and Jane, friends of Carol Cranford, for Alice Trulock's friend who's caring for parents suffering from Alzheimer's, for Christy, Kelly, and Colleen, friends of Betsy Smoke, for Livia, who's 90 years old and dealing with seizures at this time, and for her family as well, for Tyson, who's 3 years old and dealing with an inoperable brain tumor, for Betsy's friend's daughter struggling with a heroin addiction, for the Butler and Medford families of Union who both lost children to drug overdose last week, to Kay, Betsy's sister, to Karen, Jeremiah's sister, for Scott, a resident of the Aldersgate home in Orangeburg who was recently diagnosed with leukemia, for all healthcare workers, for our veterans and VA staff, and for all members of Grace and their families, especially this day, we also want to remember all those who gave their lives in service of their country on this Memorial Day weekend. Receive these prayers, O God, and transform us through them, that we may have eyes to see and hearts to understand, not only what you do on our behalf, but what you call us to do, so that your realm will come to fruition in glory. We pray this in the name of the ascended Christ. And as he taught us, so now we pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Please join with me in singing, He is Exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him, He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And this morning I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Hear these words of God. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me, that John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning, as we think about the ascension, I'm going to start a little differently, and I'm going to tell y'all a little bit about my story of faith, at least as I think about it in reflecting on this passage and what I want us to think about a little bit. I've told some of this story along and along over this first almost year of ministry here at Grace, but just as a way of refresher and to tell some of y'all who may have not heard it before a little bit more about my call to ministry. When I was 14 years old, I did Youth Disciple Bible Study for the first time. Youth Disciple is part of the Disciple Bible Study program that's put out by Abingdon. At the time, it was a 30-week Bible study. You started in the fall, finished in the spring. It went roughly over the course of the school year. Over the course of it, you cover most of Scripture. At the time of that process, at the end of it, when you come to the point of completing the Bible study, you sit down with your group that you've been with over these 30 weeks, and they tell you what gifts they see in you, what pieces they see in you of God's Holy Spirit, what ways you've been gifted for mission and ministry into the future, how your gifts fit within the biblical story. I did that Youth Disciple for the first time, and as part of that, the leader and the group gathered identified in me gifts for this job that I'm doing now. It was the first time anybody had said that to me, and it scared me half to death, and I really didn't want to have anything to do with it. I said, well, that's great. I'm glad I have these gifts, but I've got a different plan. My plan at that point in time was to be an orthopedic surgeon, and that's a whole different story how I got on that particular topic, but that was my plan. So immediately after Youth Disciple, I went to Salkehatchie. And Salkehatchie is a summer mission program, and unfortunately, due to COVID-19, all of the Salkehatchie camps around the state this year are canceled, but Salkehatchie is a mission program for youth, primarily, ages 14 to 18, as well as the adults and young adults who come to help lead and guide in that process. But you go into another community around the state, and you help to rebuild someone's home, to fix their home, to work with them, to make their living situation better. And at the end of that Salkehatchie experience, that first time at 14, I heard God tell me that I was called to ministry. And that really scared me. Where the other people had told me, I was like, oh, I can ignore you people. But when God told me, I was like, I probably shouldn't ignore you, but I'm going to anyway. So I decided, you know, God, this is great. I'm glad you think this, but I've got a better plan. I can live out this call that you've placed on me in a different way. As an orthopedic surgeon, I wasn't letting that go. I was telling God, this is what's next. This is what I'm going to do next. I'm going to continue down this path that I see for myself and not go down this path that you see for me. Well, that was all well and good that I said that and thought that and believed that that was going to work, but I kept being drawn back to these same things. At 16, I became a Youth Disciple Bible Study leader at my church and went through the process again and told other people what their gifts were, and they told me what my gifts were, and guess what? They were the same still, and I was continuing to do Salkehatchie year after year, and that year at Salkehatchie, I had another experience at the end of the week at the communion service where I knew that God was calling me into ministry, and I still ignored it, and I layered on top of that going to Chrysalis for the first time, which is the youth version of the walk to Emmaus, and I heard God calling me there, and still I was telling God, no, this is what's next. I'm going down this path, biology pre-med. I'm getting my ducks in a row to go to college to do this thing. And so then a couple of years later, I led Youth Disciple Bible Study again at 18 in my senior year. I went to Salkehatchie. I was a table leader at Chrysalis. I gave my first talk about faith in front of people at that Chrysalis retreat. And then I found myself at college that next fall and took an intro to religion course and realized that I didn't like biology at all and wasn't supposed to be going pre-med, and I needed to change my major. And finally, I was like, okay, God, you tell me what's next. You tell me what's next. And so I was looking up, waiting on God to tell me what was next. And I spent about 4 years looking up, waiting on God to tell me what was next, believing that I was called to ministry, but not knowing what I was supposed to do next. Exactly, and just waiting for a sign. Like, God, if you really want me to do this, I've changed my major, I know I'm going to do this, but if you really want me to, you got to tell me exactly what I'm supposed to do next. 4 years of college where I just waited on God, looking up, gazing up at God, and then I knew that when I was graduating, I had to go somewhere, and a religion degree doesn't do much for you generally speaking, unless you're going into a field kind of like this, or going on to postgraduate work. And so I visited seminaries and visited Duke and Candler. And at Duke, I had this overwhelming feeling that this is what's next. That was where I was supposed to go next. And I'd spent all that time looking up, wondering, and finally God said, this is what's next. Just take this step. This is your next step. Doesn't matter how the financial aid comes in or doesn't, this is your next step. So I took that next step and eventually found myself here. And that's more details for another time. But part of the reason I'm telling y'all that is because it took me that long to figure out that it's not so much about gazing up and asking God, you got to show me exactly what's next. It's about doing the next faithful thing, knowing that you are actively waiting on God to show you what's next. That you're actively waiting on God to show you what God is calling you to do. You see, in our passage this morning, Jesus has been teaching the disciples about the kingdom for 40 days. He had to get their attention first by appearing to them for 40 days. We hear that in the passage. He appeared to them over 40 days in order to get their attention because they'd all started to go back to their own ways after his crucifixion. We know that the two disciples were on their way back home on the road to Emmaus when he had to stop them and send them back to say, no, Jesus really is raised. We've got more work to do. And so over 40 days, he has to continually appear to them to teach them about what they're supposed to be doing next and that what they're supposed to be doing next isn't going back to what they were doing before. He has to keep appearing to them because they just want to fall back into their old way of life, their pre-Jesus life. Let me just go back to how it was before because it felt easy. So he appears to them over and over and over again over the course of those 40 days to teach them what they need to know to move forward in mission and ministry, to keep from going back to their old way of life. And so Jesus appears to them over these 40 days and then finally, with the disciples gathered on Mount Olivet on the day of his ascension itself, Jesus is still teaching them. He's gathered them about a day's journey outside of Jerusalem, and he is still teaching them there. He's offering them a blessing, and he's commissioning them, telling them, you're going to wait on the Holy Spirit to come in power so that to come and give you power so that you can spread the good news of the gospel to the very ends of the earth. Now the disciples, though, you see, they wonder if Christ is restoring the kingdom right then. When they get out, they're like, Jesus, is this it? Is this when the kingdom's going to come? Are you about to bring the pain on the Romans? I mean, is this it? Are we going to see it right now? They want to know the plan. They want to know the timeline. They want to be certain of the next steps so that they know what to prepare for and how much longer they have to wait. They want to be in control of the next steps. So they try to pin Jesus down. Is this when it's happening? Is it going down now? Is the kingdom being restored right now? They've shifted a little bit. You know, before they wanted to tell Jesus, we're just going to go back to fishing, Jesus, or we're just going to go back to what we were doing before. Now they're like, well, can we pin you down on this, Jesus? Are we going forward in this way? We want to know exactly how you plan to do it, Jesus. Tell us, or really let us tell you what's next. What's next right now, Jesus, is you should be leading us and bringing us into the full kingdom right this minute. So they're wondering that, and they're trying to pin Jesus down on it. And at this point, Jesus reminds them to be patient and wait on the Holy Spirit. Jesus reminds them, be patient and wait on the Holy Spirit. He says, you're going to have to hold your horses a little bit. You're going to have to hold back, rein it in. It's not for you to know when the time is. It's not for you to know what the next step is. It's not for you to know when this is going to happen exactly. It is for you to wait on the Holy Spirit to come in power so that you can proclaim my name in Jerusalem and all Judea and to every nation on the earth. But you got to wait on the Holy Spirit. You have to be patient. You don't get to know all of the pieces of the puzzle right now. So Jesus has given them this last bit of teaching. He's blessed them for the work that was coming. He's reminded them to be patient. And so then he ascends into heaven. God lifts him up to sit at the right hand of God, to sit enthroned in glory, to be the ruler over all the earth, the King of kings enthroned next to God. And he ascends into heaven, and the disciples stand there, gazing up, just neck crooked, looking straight up in the air. Well, look, there he went. And apparently they stand there long enough with their heads craned to the heavens, gazing up into the air. They stand there long enough for God and Jesus or somebody to realize they're not going to leave. They're just going to stand there, gazing up. Somehow, some way, God realizes Jesus has just told them that they have to be patient and wait on the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, but they're still just going to stand there gazing up into heaven. And if we don't move them, they won't go anywhere. They'll just be sitting there gazing up. They're gazing up, content to passively wait until God directs them in what to do next. Just, God, you're going to have to tell us to move. God, you're going to have to tell us exactly what to do next. God, you're going to have to tell us how this is going to go work out. Jesus has already told them. You go to Jerusalem and you wait on the Holy Spirit to come and clothe you in glory and in power. So they do get a reminder. We get reminders all the time from God as well, because we're just like those disciples. We just stand there waiting on God to tell us what to do, gazing up. But they get a reminder to stop staring up and to get to work waiting on the Holy Spirit. Stop staring up and get to work waiting on the Holy Spirit. They've already been told what's next. They've been given their active waiting work for this interim time between when Christ is ascended and when the Holy Spirit will descend to clothe them in power. They've already been given their job. They've already been given their next step. They know the next step. They don't want just the next step. They want to know the whole plan. They're looking up to God like, okay, well, we know the next step, but what's the whole plan? You can't just take Jesus up and not give us the whole plan. Well, that's faith. You've got your next step. Do your next faithful step and see where the Holy Spirit is leading you. See what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. So on this Ascension Sunday, we take time to remember that Jesus ascended to heaven 10 full days before the Holy Spirit came down in power on Pentecost. You and I don't have any idea really what that's like, to have known Jesus' presence, to have been promised the Holy Spirit, but then to not experience that Spirit for 10 days. That is a 10-day struggle for the disciples, and I don't want to make light of it, because you and I as disciples, when we accepted Jesus Christ, when we accepted our place in God's church, when we professed our faith for ourselves, we knew then that the promise of the Holy Spirit was true, and that God, through Jesus Christ, had sent God's Spirit to be with us always. Jesus promises us that Spirit, and it never goes away. God's Holy Spirit is always present with us. Sometimes we can't see it, we can't feel it, but that's on us. It's not because it's not present, it's because we need to pray, God, reveal your Holy Spirit to us so that we can see and know and feel where you are. But the disciples in this passage spend 10 days without Jesus' presence or the Holy Spirit's. 10 full days that they had to navigate on their own, waiting to know how the mission to reach the world with the gospel would actually be accomplished. In some ways, this was their final exam following their 40 days in class with Jesus before their job as witnesses to the gospel in the world begins. Could they apply what they had learned and be about the active work of waiting for the Spirit? Could they wait and be patient and do just the one next step they had to do until the Holy Spirit came? Can we trust that Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, advocating for us and ushering in the kingdom even now. Can we trust that the Holy Spirit is present and active in the world and in our midst even now, and that it will be revealed to us what we're supposed to do next if we'll take the next faithful step, if we will patiently but actively be about the work of waiting to see what God is doing, instead of trying to tell God what we will do, instead of trying to tell God what God should do, instead of trying to demand that we get the full picture before the full picture is ours to know. Because most importantly, the question for us this day is, can we actively wait on the Holy Spirit to show us what the next step of mission and ministry will look like? And I find that question to be of vital importance for us today. We find ourselves in a place in the church, in a place in the world that has never in our lifetimes been experienced before, and never really before at all. We have technology at our disposal to be able to reach people even when we can't be together. We have all sorts of ways that we can reimagine, that we can be re-inspired about how to be the church, and we have this option coming up in a little bit to be able to come back to in-person worship. But the question is not how do we go back to doing what we were doing before, but how do we take the next faithful step in ministry, combining what we've learned over these weeks and months that we've been apart, combining what we've learned about how to be the church when we can't be physically present together with this new reality where we can come back to worship, some of us at least, into in-person worship. How do we incorporate all of it to find the next faithful step in ministry? And I want to submit to you for your prayerful reflection that the way we're going to do that, the only way we can do that, is to be about the patient and active work of waiting on the Holy Spirit. You and I do not have the answer. No human being has the answer about how we're going to do this next. The group that has been convened, this team that is great, that has all of this wisdom, that can help us understand all of it, they don't have the answer. The Holy Spirit has the answer as to how we move forward in mission and ministry, how we get to take that next faithful step as Grace United Methodist Church, how we get to take that next active waiting step on the Holy Spirit so that then we can see what the Holy Spirit would have for us to do now and into the future as part of the people of God, as a part of the people called to help bring God's kingdom to fruition here in the world. We have to be about this active waiting on the Holy Spirit, not impatiently trying to return to the way life and faith were before, not demanding to know exactly where the next steps are, and not passively gazing up, waiting on answers to fall from the sky. None of that is what we're going to do. Instead, we're going to actively, in the work and discipline of prayer and worship and study, wait on the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Not just in this situation, but in all situations, in our lives as individual disciples and in our corporate life as the church, we're going to actively, in discipline, in prayer, in worship, in study, wait on the revelation of the Holy Spirit so that when its power and presence is made clear to us, we will be ready to follow it into new and exciting mission fields and ministry opportunities. The ascension is the culmination of the glorification of the resurrected Jesus Christ. That was a fun sentence to write, and it was fun to say. I'm glad that that worked out for me. The ascension is the culmination of the glorification of the resurrected Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. We see Christ as fully human and fully divine. God made flesh, emptied of divinity for our sakes, crucified, dead, and resurrected, and now clothed in glory in the very presence of God. He advocates on our behalf and sends the Holy Spirit to be with us. Not so we can spend all of our time gazing up, pining for heaven, pining for answers, but so we can be about the work of preparing for the kingdom to come here on earth as it is in heaven. And our task right now in that work is to be about the active work of waiting on the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me this day? Heavenly Almighty God, you have sent your Spirit to be with us. We will celebrate that next week, but we know that your Holy Spirit is present and active in our midst even now, that the Holy Spirit is moving in our world, in our communities. The Holy Spirit is moving in our church, and we ask that you would reveal that Holy Spirit to us in your time, not in ours. We're not demanding, we're not making it a qualification for if and when we'll follow you. We are just asking that you will reveal your Holy Spirit to us in your time. And until that time, we will wait actively in prayer and in worship and in study. We will wait actively looking for where your Holy Spirit is already working, already breaking in, so that we will be ready to partner with you in mission and ministry when your Holy Spirit is revealed to us, when your work, when your kingdom building activity in the world becomes known to us, so that we will be ready to join you. Give us hearts that are open, eyes that are able to see, and ears that are able to hear this day and every day. Amen. At this time, please join with me in our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
As we approach our opportunity to give back to God out of all that God has so graciously given to us, I want to remind you that you can give online to the Ministry and Mission of Grace. It's at our website, gracecolumbia.org. There are giving tabs on the left-hand side of the page and the right-hand side of the page. On the left-hand side, it's in the navigation bar, navigation tabs on the left-hand, and on the right, it's in the navigation bar up near the top. You can set up an account, or you can give as a guest. You can set up a recurring payment, or you can give one time. And you can also give to the other special giving opportunities that we have here at Grace from that tab. You can continue to mail in checks to the church, or drop them off in the mailbox yourself if you're out and about in Columbia and want to drop one off here at the church. We'd love for you to do that as well. Today, as we move into our offering, I want to celebrate that through our Epworth Mother's Day offerings, to date, we've raised $1,300 for the Epworth Children's Home. That's a great amount of ministry funding that we've helped to provide for them, and so I want to praise God for the faithfulness of the people of Grace and all of you who've given to Epworth. That Epworth offering is still open, and if you'd like to continue to give to Epworth through Grace, we'd love for you to do that as well. Also, by way of celebration, I want to celebrate our in-person worship team, return to in-person worship team, and let you know who those folks are. So on our team, we have David Rotholtz, Billy Thompson, Michael Jennings, Sam Floyd, Sam Jones, Mark Merritt, and Marlon McPhail, as well as myself serving on that team. Right now, that team is busy studying all of the various resources that have been put at our disposal by the conference, by other ministry areas, by other entities in the secular world, so that we can begin to make the best possible plan for grace as we move forward. One of the resources that we sent out by email this week is a survey to begin to gauge your feelings about returning to in-person worship. We'd love to know more about what you all think about our return to in-person worship. And so if you would, please check your email for that. If you're not receiving our emails, but you'd like to and like to be able to fill out that survey, please again email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. That way we can make that available to you, because we'd love to know what you're thinking and what you're feeling, more importantly, about returning to in-person worship for you as a disciple in the days and weeks to come. And so we praise God for this team that's coming together and for the ways that we will be able to patiently wait on the Holy Spirit as we plan for how we begin to come back together to move forward in mission and ministry this day. As you are thinking about the ways that you might be ready to give back to the mission and ministry of grace, and as we prepare our hearts, we want to take a minute just to, on this Memorial Day weekend, to remember those men and women who've given their lives for our country, and we are going to do that by seeing a short video and And let us pray. God of power and mercy, you have not deserted us. We have been tested, and yet we know we have never been far from your redeeming love. We celebrate your relentless caring, not only with the gifts we offer, but with our voices and testimony. We want the world to see what it means to live in the light of your love and mercy. Help us to guide our lives in your way. In the name of Christ, our rock and redeemer. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit. Spirit, alleluia.
Please join with me in singing our hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. We're sent forth in the power of Christ's resurrection. Alleluia. The salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the creativity of God, and the assurance of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.